we're moving from that kind of three-stage career towards a multi-stage career. So this is where you'll have periods of learning, periods of doing the job, and then periods of pause and reflection and wondering where you go next. Radical self-care, it is the foundation that the rest of your life and your career is based on.
Welcome to BLA Connections, A Clear Voice. I'm your host, Natalie Watson, and I'm delighted to bring you discussions and insights from experts from across the globe on all things laryngology. In today's episode, we would like to offer some career coaching and leadership advice from a world expert. I would like to introduce Fiona Day, a master practitioner, coach and mentor, accredited by the coaching professional body, the European Mentoring and Coaching Council. Fiona has had 25 years experience in coaching, mentoring, well-being and behaviour change, and in strategic, system-wide and board-level NHS and local government leadership roles. Thank you so much, Fiona, for joining us today.
Thank you, Natalie.
So Fiona, can you just tell us a little bit more about what you do?
Yes, I'm a executive coach and mentor and a career counsel, and I specialise in working with senior doctors, medical and public health leaders on all aspects of their professional lives. So that covers their leadership roles, their career choices and career direction, and their well-being at work. I work across the UK and across all five continents.
Fantastic. Wow. I'm looking forward to this one. So in your experience of coaching over 200 doctors and healthcare professionals over the last 5 years, what career challenges do your clients commonly face?
Well, the main career challenges that senior doctors and medical leaders face are around direction, around confidence, and around career progression. So in terms of transitions, this could be perhaps somebody wondering where to go for their first consultant post, what kind of post they're looking for, and helping them to make that decision in terms of feeling ready, interview preparation, choice of role. Other transitions could be around they've been a consultant for a few years and starting to feel either a little bit overwhelmed, they've stretched themselves a little bit too thin, or perhaps starting to feel, well, you know, I'm competent now, I've been a consultant for 5-10 years, and where do I go from here? And that's very common in terms of a few years into a consultant role and having a bit of a dip in terms of feeling happy at work and wondering where to go next. Other challenges relating to transitions could be, you know, new leadership roles. So lots of doctors move into clinical lead, clinical director, medical director roles. So obviously it's very different taking on those roles from being one of the team. So often people will come for executive coaching around that time. So feeling confident about making that transition, about how to be effective in those roles, how to lead people, how to manage the team, how to set a vision and take people with you. And for people who are medical directors, it's often, you know, their first board level role, or perhaps they've been a medical director for some time and they're wondering where to go next. Should they move into a system leadership role? Should they move into a chief executive role, for example? So those are transitions around leadership roles. And then other career challenges are around returning to work. So perhaps somebody's been off on maternity leave or off with illness and is coming back to work and just wanting some extra support around making that transition, coming back to work again. And a lot of the time it's around retirement, actually, in later life careers. So when somebody's been a doctor, for example, for all of their professional life, then suddenly that change in identity can be really daunting for people. And actually, that's a really great age to work with people, because creating their later life plans is a really rewarding area of coaching practice, because it helps people to really integrate everything that they've done before and then very much choose on their own terms about where they want to go next. And a lot of people as well struggle with what is commonly known as imposter syndrome. I mean, I don't label and pathologize people, but that's often the language that people will use. I have imposter syndrome, and helping people to really understand who they are as an adult and as a senior professional and what they bring to a role and to feel it from the inside out. And then the other kind of main career challenge that my clients face is often around difficult relationships at work. So perhaps there's been a communication breakdown with a member of the team or a manager or a clinical lead, and really wanting to work on their communication skills and their ability to build effective relationships at work. So, I mean, it's very varied, really, the range of career challenges that my clients face. But, you know, there's usually something that we can do for pretty much all of the different career challenges that people face. And when it's about direction, then I use a very specific career counselling process to help people to understand what it is that they need. Because once they are really clear about what they need, then we can look at what the options are and then move into making decisions. But I think often people just don't really know what it is that they need at different points in their life. So those are the common challenges.
Sounds fantastic. I'm sure many listeners will really identify with some of those career challenges and want to get in touch. So what advice can you give our listeners about how to manage their own careers?
Well, I think the first thing is about being proactive. So what do you need when you're 40 is going to be very different from what you needed when you were 20, and is again going to be very different from what you need when you're 60. And I think it's really important to recognise that the world of work is really changing, and that we're moving from, you know, a period where you had a period of education, a period of employment in pretty much the same role or the same field for 40 years or so, followed by a retirement period of, 10, 15 years. We're moving from that kind of three-stage career towards a multi-stage career. So this is where you'll have periods of learning, periods of doing the job, and then periods of pause and reflection and wondering where you go next. So it's going to be much more normal for people to change role or change location, or perhaps even, you know, build on their existing skills and take them in a slightly different direction. And that's happening across the whole of the world of work. It's not just happening within medicine and healthcare. So something about being proactive, like really thinking ahead, well, what am I going to need at different stages of my life? But also recognizing that pattern of the multi-stage career, and to not feel anxious about it, not feel there's something wrong with you, because actually it's a societal trend rather than perhaps something that relates to you personally, but recognizing what's happening and that you're starting to feel stuck, and then seeking out help to kind of get you refocused again. I think also, being aware of the impact of technology. So there's a book called The Shift that I read a few years ago, which really describes some of the ways that technology is going to change the world of work. And one of the ones that particularly struck me, and this was before COVID, was the idea of a surgeon working from their bedroom and having, you know, perhaps being in the UK, but having a operating list in, you know, China in the morning and in America in the afternoon. And, you know, that technology does make that possible, but actually it brings all its own risks as well. You know, the risk of isolation, being, not working in the same way that we have been traditionally, which is obviously what we've seen a lot of that in COVID. And quite a lot of my clients, you know, perhaps they were shielding and in a medical leadership role, and they weren't able to go into work, or a director of public health who had to, you know, be working from home, and they've been working in their kid's bedroom during COVID. So technology has made all sorts of things possible, but, you know, recognizing that at even post-COVID, the world of work is going to be different, even for doctors. And, you know, for some doctors, that does mean benefits, that they can have more flexibility about where they work. And perhaps if they've got young children, for example, that might be something that is positively helpful to them, but also something just to be aware of. So thinking ahead, following, well, what's happening in technology? What's happening with trends? A lot of my clients who are GPs, for example, you know, feel that they have become very much remote workers, and they're not seeing patients and having that personal contact in the same way that they had previously. So just being aware, you know, some things work for some people, some things don't. So it's always about being aware of what you need, what's going to enable you to do your own best work. And also, I think, you know, in terms of advice, it's about you know, we want to be ambitious. We want to be excellent in what we do. We want to be fantastic clinicians. And we need to also temper our ambition with our own well-being and taking care of ourselves. So it's a kind of a balance between that ambition, personal development and well-being that we always need to bear that in mind at the same time.
Fantastic. They're really, really great tips. So what can our listeners do to promote their own well-being at present and into the future?
I always say to my clients that this is about taking radical self-care. It's a commitment to your own well-being, because, you know, whatever role that you're doing in the 21st century, you're going to be pulled in multiple different directions as a parent, as a carer, as a partner, as a human being with friends. And actually, it is important that it's a conscious commitment to taking care of ourselves, because radical self-care, it is the foundation that the rest of your life and your career is based on. So it's really important to do all the basic things that you might think of, such as, you know, making sure you've got enough exercise and recreation, that you're doing the things that you love, whether that's cycling or dancing or gardening or reading or whatever it is for you, but that you do have times during your day and that you in your week, and that you're actually using your diary to schedule in the things that you need to do for you. I think it's also important that we build a team around us, you know, of our nearest and dearest. So, you know, like for you, Team Natalie, how do you make sure that you've got, you know, the people around you that you need to support you through life, and you do that for other people too, so that there is that real connection between you and other people and that kind of support infrastructure in place. And I've just submitted to BMJ Leader a paper on improving outcomes from my clients. And I've been able to show that over an average of 5.4 sessions, my clients improve their well-being scores by 19.1%. And that's a statistically significant difference based on 34 clients using the short form Warwick Edinburgh Wellbeing Scale. And the domains that that's mostly seen in is I feel positive about the future and I feel able to make my own mind up about things. And I think, I suppose it's just, if you're starting to struggle, that to recognise that you do need to build a team around you and that change is possible and that you can improve your personal situation. And coaching is only one of the ways to do that. You know, perhaps you might need to see a clinician. But it is about it's about taking your own well-being seriously, because nobody else can do that. And as an adult, it is our responsibility to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves and keeping work in perspective, because there's always more work to do than anybody has time and capacity to do. That's just the reality of the world of work these days. So, you know, always keeping an eye on making sure that you've got enough of the infrastructure in place to support you is what I would say your listeners can do both now and into the future.
Well, you really struck a note with me when you said Team Natalie. I definitely have a Team Natalie around me. I wouldn't have been able to get where I am without them. And I'm leaning on them for the future. So how do you see leadership changing in the future? And what can our listeners do to develop their leadership skills?
I think we're seeing a change in the way that leaders need to work, because the context that they're working in is different and changing. Traditionally, we've been working in a complicated context, so where there are some right things to do and some wrong things to do. Things are difficult and complicated, but there is a kind of evidence base behind what to do. And we're moving from that complicated domain into the domain of complexity, where things are vague, ambiguous, uncertain. There's a long delay between the impact. You know, when you make a decision, that impact may be felt years or even generations down the line. And it's very hard then for a leader to know what's the right thing to do, because there are very few clear right things to do. And also there are very few wrong things to do. So it takes a different form of mind to be able to lead in that kind of complex, where you can hold all that complexity and ambiguity and still feel able to lead a way forward and to for people to feel confident that they can follow you. And that's very much about being able to influence, perhaps without authority. So perhaps you don't have the name badge that says, you know, I am the boss and you must do what I say. So, but it's about interpersonal influence. It's about your ability to gain perspective into other people and other organizations and what their agenda and what their needs are so that you can work out collaborative solutions together. I think leadership is becoming much more cross-organizational between organizations, between systems. It's, you know, it's much more complex because no one person and no organization has the answers to the range of challenges that we face in healthcare. So around improving outcomes, around reducing inequalities, around helping people feel connected to each other and improving emotional well-being. Like nobody, no one area of medicine or no one organization has all the answers. And a lot of leadership in this context is about experimentation, about being willing to take informed risks that move you in the right direction over time. But it's not as straightforward as implementing a nice guideline. Not to say that that's easy in any way, obviously it's not, but it's much more nuanced and complex. So I think that's just something that is changing, and you know, we can see that over time. Perhaps in the 1950s there was a much more authoritarian style to leadership, whereas now people, you know, people don't respond to that. We want to be taken along with, we want to be engaged, we want to actively co-create with the leader. And so the leader doesn't have to know all the answers, but they do need to have the skills to take people with them and engage them.
Brilliant. Wow, you've given us so much food for thought. Finally, what are your take-home messages you'd like our listeners to go away with today?
So in terms of take-home messages, Natalie, I think being proactive about your career. So somebody told me once, you know, modern careers, they're like crazy paving, but you have to lay them yourself. So you're going to have a choice of options and directions to go in. And it's rather than just doing the next thing in front of you, which is historically what people have been able to do, it's going to be much more complex than that. So be proactive, think ahead. Actually, what do you need for this next chapter? I think another message is about radical self-care, about really taking your own well-being seriously. Because you're also role modeling to, you know, your kids, if you've got them, to the rest of the department that you work in, your organization, you're setting the culture around how you take care of yourself. So your own radical self-care is a conscious and deliberate commitment. Then I think it's also about finding out what's going to enable you to do your own best work. And to, you know, the world faces great challenges, like I was saying about outcomes, inequalities, alienation in society, ecological problems, and the world really needs great leaders. So I think it's about finding out what's going to enable you to do your own best work. The kind of leaders that we need, it's about the behaviours that you display and the values that you hold. It's not about your personality. It's not about how charismatic you are. So, you know, the world really needs you to lead whatever role that you're doing, to lead in the context of your role, and find out what you're good at, and then just, you know, do more of it, because, you know, we need that in the world. So yeah, please, you know, go out and do your own best work.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you so much for joining us today, sharing your experiences of leadership and well-being and helping us with our career choices and allowing us to understand and identify our own career challenges and trying to navigate through those. Just thank you so much. I think we've got a lot to think about, you know, with COVID and actually well-being, and this has given us an opportunity to really reflect on what really matters and how to look after ourselves, having gone through such a busy and stressful year with the COVID-19 pandemic. So thank you so much for coming on today and sharing all your wisdom.
Oh, thanks ever so much, Natalie. It's been great talking to you, and I really hope that it's been of some interest to your listeners, and wish everybody well for their own careers and their own futures.
Thank you. So we hope you have enjoyed listening to BLA Connections, A Clear Voice. I have been your host, Natalie Watson. Please do tune in this series for more about well-being, exploring the patient experience, and furthering our education with various laryngology topics. We would also love to hear from you. please feel free to email with any topics you would like us to explore, any questions you have, along with any suggested experts you would like to hear from. Also, if you would like to contribute to these podcasts, please email inquiries@britishlaryngological.org. Our full series can be found in the podcast provider of your choice, or you will find all stored on our BLA Connect app for easy access. Thank you to all our listeners, and we hope you found our podcast informative. Please remember to subscribe and do leave a review with your podcast provider. We do appreciate your likes, subscribes, and reviews.